Hello.
I'm preoccupied at the moment.
Hi, Lynx. Good morning to you, sir.
Very
Thank you,
nice.
sir, for the sniffs.
Can you leave now?
He's like, no, I take up your whole upper body, and this is how we're doing the podcast today.
Hurts my boobs.
Ugh, I feel that.
Son, why don't you sit on the desk? Sit on the desk. Go on.
I have risen. You would never know he just got a haircut.
No, oh my God.
I mean, I could show you his butt and then you'd see where the haircut was, but
Well,
that's
it's
a
a butt
private
cut.
area. Yeah, it's a butt cut. It's just, that's a private region.
Oh my God. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Blair.
And I'm Kirsten, and we are
Mediocre
Mediocre Content
Content.
on the other side of 2025. Hard to believe.
Indeed. Indeed, it is.
And we're still talking about Christmas.
Honestly, I fully haven't even comprehended that it's 2025 yet.
I feel like the Christmas season didn't hit me until it was too late, and then it was over, and then it's just like Happy New Year, and I'm like, where am I though?
What is happening?
What
Who,
planet?
what is happening exactly? Yeah, I
I
don't know.
also, to be honest with you, we don't really decorate.
Right,
So
because of the kitties.
because of the cats. So even this episode makes very little sense to me, but I figured in general it would make sense to someone.
Yeah. I mean, we took our Christmas decorations down yesterday, and now, like I was telling you, my house looks barren, and I need to like get something. I need to go to Home Goods and like spruce the place up a little bit.
Honestly, I think it's like it's good with Christmas cheer, but also I feel like the mistake that I would make is if there's something where my tree would sit, or if I had like some kind of garland or something somewhere during the off season of Christmas, because there's an off season of Christmas.
Sure, yeah.
But during the off season, I would have to have something that was also there to kind of prevent the barren feeling. Like if there was a Christmas
Right.
tree, I'd just put a plant there, I guess. I would put a statue
Yeah.
or a chair or something to fill the void. Because otherwise, you're
Right.
right. It just feels like there's something missing, because technically
Yeah.
there is.
Yeah. So
And
I
it's the
don't
spirit
know.
of Christmas.
We're gonna figure something out. We'll see. I thought of something while you were saying that, and I can't remember what it is now.
Oh, you should have interrupted me.
I know. I do that always anyway.
It's fine. It's fine. When you have good thoughts, that's important.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's all right. It'll come back to me. It'll be fine.
If we get in the middle of something, you remember, you know what to do. Just
I do.
blaze
Just
through.
blurt it out.
Full support.
Don't raise your hand, just blurt it out.
We're not in class anymore. We don't have
Every
to.
teacher just cringed a little bit.
That's fine.
All right, let's disclaim and get this show on the road, shall
Let's
we?
do it.
First show of 2025.
I'm excited. Actually,
Yay.
I'm excited for this episode, but I'm more excited for next episode.
Yes.
Woo.
Hint,
Yeah.
hint, cough, cough. All
Hit
right. So, we're not experts on anything. Kirsten is definitely not an expert on decorating for Christmas because she doesn't
No.
even do it because of her
Nope.
cats. Which is totally reasonable. Oh,
Oh,
I
for
was going to
sure.
tell you. I remember what it is now.
You just have to say
Good.
yes. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Still not experts on anything, though.
One second, Caroline is calling me.
Carol, we're busy. Oh, gracious.
Hi, Carol, you're on the pod.
Hi.
It's gonna start being a trend. Do you are am I just like choosing the wrong days? Or is it like am I choosing the same day every week and
She's
it just so
choosing the
happens to
perfect
fall
day.
on this day?
You're choosing the same day, I feel, because we always record on Sunday mornings, my time, Sunday afternoon, your time.
Yes.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Kirsten says hi.
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, Carol. Always good to hear from you.
Well, then I will let you go.
Okay.
Nothing serious is happening. I'm just
Okay.
adventuring to my hair appointment. I
Oh,
was going to
yes.
say hi, but
Okay. Yeah, have a good hair appointment. Send me pictures and I'll talk to you later.
Everyone say bye, Carol.
All right, bye.
I love it so much. So
anyway, what I was going to tell everyone is that my cats, although they do not care that much about the ornaments on the tree, they do act like little goats and like stand up on their hind legs and try and eat the bottom of the Christmas tree bristles because it feels good in their mouths.
Oh, can you imagine?
So I cleaned up my Christmas tree. We put it away and there's like little pine needles everywhere. I'm like, we have a fake Christmas tree. There should not be pine needles everywhere.
I feel like your tree also may have bald spots. I hate to tell you, but it might be prematurely balding.
The problem
on the
is we paid enough money for this tree that it needs to last us for a while. So the bottom is just gonna be like what messed up, and that's fine.
That's great. I love that it's not just they're climbing the tree to eat it; they're standing like little humans to gnaw on the bottoms of the tree.
And they like, you know, rub their face on it, and then they put it in their mouth, and they go yum 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 yum.
Love
and
that
then
mouth feel.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. Maybe you know what? Maybe they're onto something. Maybe I need to try it out.
And I would just like to say for the one person in the audience who's who's a vet or like is like, you should not be feeding your cats plastic. I'm like, ma'am, they're fine. I promise you they're okay. Yeah. There's been no digestive issues. Okay.
Also, I would never force feed my cat fake tree.
That's right.
However, the one thing we do decorate is our door. So I do in fact have a wreath that I put on my door. And if that's left out on the table, Puma will eat it and then throw up the bristles later.
Right.
Which is so fun to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no evidence to believe that they fully digest to eat it. They just like to like nom on it and then make it fall to the ground.
Sure.
And that's it.
You know, if it was like tinsel and then it went through their system, they would have really pretty turds.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. But also possibly like some digestive issues that they'd have to have surgery for.
Right? For sure.
There's that as well.
Which we are not a fan of.
No, we don't like expensive cat surgery. That is not on the table.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Anyway, we're not experts on that either.
No. So, congratulations. You get to listen to about whatever this podcast is about. I think decorating for Christmas. Yeah. And I'm going to start the good news now.
Let's all right. Let's do it.
All right. So I named this article. That's not my article. Since we are still talking about Christmas, here's an owl.
That's very specific.
'Twas the week before Christmas.
Oh, a story.
And perched on the tree was a magical visitor as wise as can be.
Are you riding?
He came down
me?
The chimney, but wasn't named Santa. Oh. A majestic barred owl dropped in unexpectedly.
Lee. Why didn't they just let it ride the rest of the article? That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
I'm upset.
Savannah, I'm sorry, Savannah, I cannot pronounce your last name, was at home with her young children in Arlington, Virginia, when she first saw the bird fly through her living room and land atop the tree.
Horrifying.
And a finer tree topper you'll never find.
Okay.
She called the Animal Welfare League of Arlington, and Spencer Murray was dispatched on the Jolly House call. His strategy was to let the bird tire itself out by flying from the tree to the kitchen cabinets with a large net ready to scoop up the predator out of double French doors. And back into the suburban skies.
This sounds like a comedy routine.
It literally does. Anyway, Murray took to social media to post photos and remind everyone to keep their chimneys capped with wire to prevent curious critters from coming inside. Savannah joked that she was disappointed there was no letter from Hogwarts that came with the owl.
Okay.
Honestly, same, Savannah. Same.
I've been waiting for years.
Years! Choosing that local welfare league, which shelters homeless animals and facilitates adoptions, probably was not the correct call to make, nor would a local animal control agency. Instead, in a situation like this, homeowners should call the local wildlife rescuer, which is better prepared to respond. Although Murray reported the owl was safely captured and led outside, on the bright side, The group did send the family a surprise holiday gift, an owl tree topper, to remember their encounter forever.
That's great.
And to replace the star that collapsed under the weight of the beefy holiday.
The beefy? Okay, let's talk about
they
that.
They called the owl fat. Oh.
We don't fat shame. It's 2025, people. Gracious.
I know. Technically, this is 2024 when it was written, but still.
Yes, sure. But we are of the age. Okay.
You're right.
Ridiculous. Also, I love that they're like, here is a tree topper of the thing that traumatized you in your house.
Okay. No, it sounds like she was fine with it. She was just mad she didn't get a Hogwarts letter, which honestly, I would be too.
I mean, and I agree, I guess. Also, what they mean is call your local game warden because they are so helpful when it comes to things like that. If you have a local game warden, they're really good at it. So if you snack, the snacks come through the toilet. Yes, that's a thing. If your snack comes through the toilet, just call your local game warden. It's fine.
I'm sorry, everyone. Kirsten just traumatized us all. It's fine.
Did you see the lady from Australia?
No.
That had the spiders in her house because she left the AC
on.
Oh,
I did see that. Yeah. And there was like big ass spiders in her room.
And I'm like, you're going to have to burn the house down now. Like they own the house now. That's their house. Also,
I like don't even know. I would just be like, I'm leaving. I'm going to a hotel. Somebody else deal with this. Like, I can't handle this right now.
You know what I learned in that video, though?
What?
Spiders like a cool air-conditioned home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They want luxuries now. Spiders desire, what do they want now? Like specific down pillows? Are we in a hotel setting, you know?
They've evolved. I don't know what to tell you.
Do you want bottled water at the door?
Quick story.
Yes.
Quick story. Chris and I stayed in a hotel last week because we went on vacation. And we're like casually just hanging out in the room for a minute. Uh-huh. I look up.
Uh-oh.
There is a lizard on the ceiling.
That I would be so okay with, actually.
And I'm like, sir, what are we doing here?
I paid for this room.
And I was like, I need to get him out of here because what if he falls onto my bed? Because that would bother me.
Oh,
I don't mind that he exists in the room. I just don't want him in my personal space.
I mean,
but he did evade our capture and slot and go into like there were the way that they didn't have like curtains against the sliding glass door. They had this like weird, I don't like pocket door thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he went into the pocket door.
Ugh.
I don't know what happened to him after that.
But... Oh, well, I mean, he at least was not your bed buddy that night.
Correct. As far as I know.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. Ignorance is bliss, everyone. Yeah. All right.
I love finding the little lizards in our house here.
Oh my gosh.
So fun.
Salem got one the other day. Did I tell you that?
Oh no.
This boy just pieced him right up. I feel so bad. I found his tail separated from his body.
Oh well, okay,
and
they do
happens,
that I guess,
and
but,
that's fine,
but the rest of him,
the rest of him was also in several slices, and I just felt not good about that
much
anyway. Okay, so this one is titled maybe not good news but certainly not bad news.
Love.
All right. A stroke has left a British woman with an Italian accent and an ability to speak the language, despite never having visited the country.
I love these.
I do too.
My favorite.
Oh my God. Althea Bryden's husband found her unresponsive one evening this summer and unable to talk, so immediately called an ambulance. The 58-year-old stayed in the hospital for 9 days after the doctors discovered she had suffered a stroke caused by a carotid web, which can interrupt blood flow to the brain. Mm-hmm. Okay. After a surgery to remove it, and after 3 months of being unable to talk, she woke up with an Italian accent and the ability to use rudimentary words in the language.
So random.
Quote, I spent 3 months after my stroke thinking I'd never be able to talk again, the grandmother from North London told SWNS News. I felt like a shell of a person I once was. After my carotid web surgery, a nurse came to my hospital bed to do a routine check, and completely out of the blue, I just started speaking. She looked as shocked as I did. I remember thinking, who was that talking? Firstly, I couldn't believe it was me talking, but also I didn't recognize the sound of my voice. Doctors began gathering around Althea's bedside to hear her talk. The more I spoke, the more confused we all became.
I would be too.
It was clear that I did have a strong Italian accent, and I had no control over the sound that I was making when talking.
Awful.
It's like Tourette's almost.
Yeah.
With like Italian words. To her amazement, she was also able to speak Italian, a language she said she never learned or spoke before.
Amazing.
Without realizing, I will say an Italian word mid-conversation, which is the Italian word for what I'm trying to say in English.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea I'm about to do it. My brain just converts the English word to Italian. Doctors diagnosed Althea with a foreign accent syndrome, which is a rare medical condition that causes a person's speech to sound like they have a foreign accent, even though they haven't acquired it.
Can you imagine?
I can't at all. The term was first coined in 1982 by H.A. Whitaker, who explained that the condition is clearly related to the central nervous system damage. While rare, well over 100 cases have been reported in medical literature. Given to the rare nature of the disorder, Althea has struggled because there's nobody she can relate to.
Right.
Doctors and nurses see me as a bit of a medical marvel. None of the therapists or medical staff has dealt with foreign accent syndrome before in their whole careers. Mm. So I'm so grateful to be alive after my stroke and to be able to communicate after living with no speech for 3 months. But with FAS, it's really hard.
Mm.
I wake up most mornings hoping that my old voice will be back again. I don't feel like me with this foreign accent, and I can't even hear the accent in my head when I'm thinking. It's such a very strange feeling.
That's got to be disorienting.
Yeah, if your head voice sounds different than your mouth voice.
Get your mouth voice out of my head.
I try my hardest to stay positive and upbeat, and I remind myself that I'm still here today, and I have my husband, 2 sons, and their beautiful families with
me. And a wonderful giggle every dinner.
Yeah, literally.
With their new Italian mom.
with the support of the Stroke Association and their support group, she has met many other stroke survivors locally. Quote, it's so helpful to share our lived experiences. As much as every stroke is different, there's always something that 2 stroke survivors can bond over. But she has yet to meet anyone with foreign accent syndrome, and she wishes she could bid arrivederci to her accent.
Thank you, news article, for closing it that way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she's super happy about that. Oh, man. She is actually, weirdly enough, not the first person I've heard of that, though.
Really? Okay.
Yes, there were, and I don't remember how long ago it was, but there was somebody who was on TV many moons ago who had a similar thing happen. And I do not remember which accent she changed to, but if I'm not mistaken, I think she was American. And it happened to her, and it was a similar concept where she had some kind of medical something, or she hit her head, or was something to do with brain damage. And she also had that happen, but she's not the only one, I can say for certain, within this century who's had that happen.
I would just like to say that if I was her, I would feel grateful that I got Italian and not like German or something.
Right. Yes. I
think Italian
that.
Is one of the better ones that you can have.
Italian, French. I'd even be okay with like a British accent. At least that's still kind of English.
I mean, she has a British accent already. So
she is British, but if it happened to me.
But yeah.
I would be okay with British.
No, totally. And I think like we're not trying to make light of the situation.
No.
It is a very traumatic situation for her
to
I'm
have
sure.
a stroke and then wake up with an Italian accent.
Right.
Speaking Italian.
Correct. Yeah. But like at the same time, it is just kind of one of those like weird medical things that just happen.
It's weirder that she can speak Italian and randomly convert English words into Italian that she most definitely doesn't know.
Yeah. It's
like,
crazy.
That's the weird part. If you had an accent, okay, that's weird.
And she has like no Italian background. Right. It'd be different if she was like a collegiate Italian professor or something.
Right. Or had like, relatives.
Right.
And you could like pick out words here and there. But the fact that she knows zero Italian and her brain knows the Italian word for things that she's thinking about in English.
It's weird.
That is crazy.
It's weird.
The mind is an enigma. Anyway, what is an enigma is talking about holiday decorations in January. You're welcome. I'm preparing you for the next year. Everything's on sale right now, so you got to know what you want to do next year now. That's the important part.
Okay.
It's true. Right. It's true.
You're not wrong. I will give you that. It's just that I am still recovering from
yes.
You know, this
it's like,
year.
I get it. It's like, you know what though? I'm looking at it. It's like, we also have Valentine's Day coming up, and it's similar to like Halloween, where you got to buy all the stuff after the holiday. So you get everything on discount, you know?
Yep.
So for any holiday, there's lots of symbolism, obviously, where there's different reasons that you have figurines or specific colors or traditions and things that you do. But with this particular one, we're talking about Christmas and winter Christmas kind of combination, I guess. And we're going to talk about the colors and items that are specific. Some of them are obvious, some of them are not. And we'll just go and start with the basics. We got red and green, right? So if you know anything about Christmas, a lot of the color combos that you're going to see have to do with the color red and green. It is a traditional color palette used to decorate many a things. But the real question is why? And the answer to that is related to, obviously, symbolism, religion, and Coca-Cola, which we talked about last week, which is why this is so beautiful.
Wow.
I know.
Amazing tie-in, Kirsten.
Thank you. Good job. I do what I can.
Yeah.
It's rumored that the red and green stems from the Celtics during winter solstice. Ancient Celtics revered red and green due to the holly plants. And if you don't know what holly looks like, they had the little red berries, and their sticky, horribly prickly leaves are green.
Yeah.
Don't touch a holly bush.
We side note.
No, it's okay.
In growing up, we had a holly tree in our backyard.
Yuck.
And I was always afraid. Like, we would run around barefoot in the yard, right? And so, like, every so often, I would get one in my foot. And it was the bane of my existence. I hated it so much.
Yeah. They really do hurt. They got little spines on their leaves.
It's not fun.
Anyway, and they're hardy plants as well.
They are. That is true.
So, anyhoodle, holly plants survive the winter. They're evergreen. That's what that means. So, they're akin to things like your Christmas tree, for example, because they're just there all the time, as opposed to your deciduous trees, which lose all their leaves. Anyway, this isn't related to that. Because of their vibrancy during the harsh winter weather, the Celtics believed holly was responsible for maintaining Earth's beauty during the winter, and so they would decorate their homes with it as protection and good luck charms. And as we just talked about, it's an excellent protectant because it's prickly. So, not gonna have no robbers in your house with a holly bush on your door. If you've never seen a holly plant, again, they're dark green, spiky leaves, those little red berries. And of course, since they were used to decorate the homes in this way, those colors became a very big staple in home decor during that time. Obviously, religion has a lot to do with choices. And so if you are Christian, perhaps, throughout the Bible, red and green can symbolize the life of Jesus, red being the blood, green as the evergreen tree representing the eternal life. So those two colors also kind of represent and embody a reason for Christians to use the color palette as well. Obviously, as well, the holly bush comes into play because it's, as we talked about, sharp. And the whole purpose of Easter when it comes to Jesus is obviously the crucifixion. And so he had the crown of thorns. Holly is prickly. You can make the jump there if you desire. I don't think that's the real reason, in my opinion, but
it's kind of funny though. The vibe that you just gave was like Taylor Swift conspiracy theory
for Jesus's holly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, well, now we can draw the conclusion because X, Y, and Z, and because in Easter he wears the crown of thorns. So then therefore holly makes
makes the most sense. It's right. So, but I honestly, I feel like that's a little far-fetched myself as coming from a Christian.
Yes. I think
jump is a little weird, but I get the color reference.
Yes. No, I totally understand. Yeah. No, it's good.
He was not wearing a crown of holly, if anybody's curious.
Right.
But as for red and green, those are some very specific reasons as to why the Christian culture and the Christian religion may also decorate with red and green specifically.
Yes.
Outside of celebrations and religion, though, pop culture carries a really big weight, and we know this from the economic reasons that we purchase a bunch of stuff or decorate. There's a portion of economy in everything that we do for the holidays. Specifically, 1931, Haddon Sunbloom, the illustrator behind Coca-Cola's iconic Santa Claus ads, burst into the scene and forever solidified red and green as the Christmas colors because he depicted Santa, of course, in a bright red suit with a green background that ran from 1931 to 1964 and overall changed how Americans viewed Santa and Christmas in general as a holiday. People considered Sunbloom's depiction of Saint Nick as, quote, the real one. And before Coca-Cola ads, Santa actually often appeared dressed in various colors. And it's not necessarily solidified as a look for him until this time frame. So that's really a huge factor as to why those colors are so prevalent. I think they also just look good together. They're complementary colors. It
I
makes
agree.
sense.
Yeah, no, it's good for marketing.
Yeah, exactly. They look good. With that said, though, red and green are not the only colors we use. A lot of people go for golds, silvers. I love a blue Christmas. I'm just all about that look. White, of course, a white Christmas. And they all have different potential meanings as well. So I figured we'd just run down the list and see what kind of symbolism are inside. We just talked about red and green, so I'm not going to dwell too much on that. Again, if you're religious, it could represent the blood of Jesus Christ, who was born on Christmas Day. Additionally, it's common for the holly berries, poinsettias, which are huge during the holidays as well.
Toxic for cats. Just putting
Yes,
that out
please be
there.
lilies too. I know that's more of an Easter one,
Lilies.
but be careful coming into spring.
All the religious flowers.
All
Bad for
religious
cats.
flowers, bad for cats. Just don't do it. Of course, it can also date back to pagan celebrations of the winter solstice, which was believed to ward off evil spirits, apparently. And then green, again, evergreen trees, ever eternal life, just cultures where you've got vitality, a tradition of decorating trees. So I feel like trees that you would bring in, like the evergreens, are naturally green. So it makes sense that when you add the decorations, green is just a natural part of the color palette.
Agreed. Yep.
You know, mistletoe, it's all whatever. White, often used for thoughts of purity. This could also be related to Christianity because it has to do with the Bible and holiness and all of that stuff. It's also freshly fallen snow. So
Yes.
if it's snowing outside, it's a white Christmas. So you might want to bring some of those colors, well, the lack of color, into your house, which is fine. Gold and silver, outside of being precious metals, religiously, they were gifts to Jesus when he was born, but also it was used as the Star of Bethlehem because it's a bright golden star.
Yeah.
It's also royal colors and royal medals, so it's seen as, you know, maybe wealth. I saw another article that talked about that. So if you like a grand look, gold and silver might be a good choice. Blue. Again, Mary, Mother of Jesus, typically depicted wearing blue. So if you see any of the nativity scenes, she's often wearing some sort of blue garb. That's because during that time, blue hues and dyes were very rare and expensive. So again, if you kind of want to be a little grand, go with a blue Christmas, I guess. Additionally, it's associated with ice and winter as well, because ice can have a blue hue to it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally.
So if you want an icy look, which I personally like, then do that. There are, of course, with time, changes to trends of colors that are being used, which I think is very cool to see everybody's different take on what kinds of new colors and ideas they bring to the table. One of them is black. This is apparently very new in terms of like a black Christmas tree, kind of like a gothic look, I guess. But it has made its way into kind of like a popularity situation. So they'll combine black with more traditional colors so that you can kind of have a monochrome kind of aesthetic. So grays, whites, of course, you've got black, different kinds of that. And then you can add a green or a red here or there to kind of give you a pop of color. I don't know. I haven't seen this myself.
No.
If you've tried it, great. If you want to send pictures, even better. I'd love to see how that looked. But yeah, black apparently works. And you can buy black Christmas trees on Amazon. So I get it. Sorry for the sad beige moms, but there is beige that has entered in. So they get rid of color altogether and they tan it out.
That's rough.
I know. So it's not necessarily associated with being very Christmassy necessarily, but people sometimes do trend towards a more warm, neutral tone associated with comfort, nature. They might use more wood, like driftwoods or wood tones, to kind of bring the nature in the house. I kind of feel like beige would be really pretty with green because I feel like it's very aesthetic. It's tree, you know, but just wood accents, pine cones, kind of a rustic look.
Barn.
Barn. And then finally, these were actually trends out of 2023. So I don't know what 2024 had as far as Christmas color trends, but the two trends that were going on were neutrals, kind of like we talked about before, but this was more of a bohemian boho spirit of Christmas. And then also pastels, which I would personally love. Pink, blue, lavenders, light greens, like sages. So it's just kind of fun. A lot of people would pair these with like candies and things of that nature to kind of bring the fun into the pastels. So there's that. With that said, Blair, what is your go-to kind of color combo? Are you a traditional girly? Do you like the blues? Do you want something different? What's your style?
So I'm a traditional green and red, heavy on the green, though. Mm-hmm. I would say green is my favorite color. Mm-hmm. And I do love, like a garland accent. I love the Christmas tree is my favorite holiday decoration, I think, in general, because I like the ornaments aspect. I like that it's pretty and sparkly. Mm-hmm. I like that I don't have to have any other lights on in my living room, and it just like makes everything glow and it like looks beautiful. I also am a big like lights girly. I like the lights part of Christmas.
Like multicolored lights, white lights. What are we going for?
It depends on the mood. I definitely like more of the multicolor, but like I've noticed that some of the multicolor are leaning more towards like a blue light.
Yes.
More
it's
now
not
than
the same.
Instead of like a yellow orange,
yes,
red kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't love.
No.
So this year we did white lights. Like our tree, you can switch from color to white, it doesn't matter. Nice. So we did white lights, which was beautiful. We liked it. But yeah, I'm a green and red, you know, classic Christmas kind of aesthetic, I think.
One of my favorite things was my grandma had the big fat incandescent bulbs with the multicolored lights. That's the go-to, man.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's not my favorite if I'm decorating, but it's my favorite if I'm going to like my mom's house or my grandma's house. Sure. And I want to have that cozy, old, traditional Christmas kind of vibe.
That is my vibe. Your grandmother's house at Christmas is my vibe.
Totally.
I got the cookies. Yeah. I got the tree with the glowy lights.
Yes.
I got, you know, it's just, that's what I go for.
Do you put a tree skirt down?
I do. Nice. Mm-hmm. It is red to offset the green.
Sure.
Yep. And it's got like gold beads on it.
Oh, that's cute.
Thanks.
I like that. Do you decorate with anything? Well, of course. Do you decorate anything other than the tree? Like you said, you have a garland. What else are you using?
So we have a garland for like the stair.
The stair
banister. Rail. Yeah. The banister. That's what it's called. I also do like on the TV stand in front of the TV, I do like a gold beaded like garland. And then we have our stockings that hang there, which are like very beautiful. Chris's mom gave them to us and they're personalized with our names. And then mine is like Mrs. Claus and he's like, his is like Santa and it's so cute. And they're like green and red and it's adorable.
That is very cute.
And then we have a mini tree for the cats. It is a decoy tree to keep them away from the large tree,
which has been a little successful, but also not.
It's not as bad as it could be. Some of these
Yeah.
cat videos online, I'm
Oh,
like,
I
oh
know.
God, thank God they don't do that.
The cats are the toppers.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. And then I do like we decorate with that. I have like a couple of little like decor, like a cute little cottage, like Christmas cottage
Yeah.
thing, and just
Yeah.
generic little tchotchkes. I
Love it.
do change the pillows out on the couch.
Okay.
And I do like I have like a snowflake pillow, and then I have this really cool, it's like very long, and it's got like a it's got Santa, it's like a night sky scene. It's got Santa with the reindeer and like snow falling, and then on the bottom of the pillow it's like a little village. And
Oh,
it's really
nice.
cute. I
That
think it's
is
cute.
cute. Aw.
Yeah, and then I do like candles and stuff too, because for the
The vibes.
vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cozy. I love that.
What about you? I
Well,
mean, I
you
know
know
you
I
guys don't
don't.
really, not at all, like other than the wreath on the
Other
front
than the
door.
wreath, there's literally nothing that we do.
No lights or anything.
No. And okay,
Wow.
well, let me say, I will say that the other reason is because we move so much, I genuinely just don't want to pack it
Yes.
and keep track of it.
Yeah.
Because I'll forget what's in the boxes, and inevitably there'll be like a bunch of boxes we never go back to. And it's just like, oh, here's, and I have a box full of like Christmas decorations we had for our original tree when we lived in Maryland that's been sitting there for three moves. Like, it's just,
Fair.
it's not happening.
Fair. We
Anyway,
do,
yeah.
I will say, we have discovered this year particularly that we like, even though some people, my mom, would consider this tacky, we
Okay.
do say that the blow up like figurines and stuff for like Halloween and Christmas are good because they do pack well,
Yes.
and they don't take up a ton of room.
Ironically, that's
So,
all we have. We have
yeah.
two blow up dinosaur skeletons that we use for Halloween. That's
Right.
what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
So,
perfect.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's, I mean, we'll put those out and put Santa hats on them, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we could,
That
everybody,
I think that's reasonable.
oh, I think so. Everyone around our neighborhood decorates, so they had great, great lights around
Yeah,
us.
we
Yeah.
live in a very heavily decorated neighborhood as well.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's cute. It's beautiful. I'm not going to be doing it, but I enjoy watching other people do it for sure.
Yeah.
I also want to mention very quickly just one last thing about colors that I did not mention previously. And I apologize. Since we're on the topic of like religious symbolism as well, blue is also a Hanukkah color. I just want to make sure that everybody is aware that blue and
It
gold and
is.
silver are often also seen in Hanukkah decorations. So if you celebrate Hanukkah or if you weren't knowledgeable on it, blue could also be a symbol for that as well. So just wanted to make sure I
Beautiful.
put
We
that in there.
love.
Anyway, well, that's all I have on colors. On the next half of the episode, we'll actually talk about the nitty-gritty, the decorations you just talked about, and what they might mean if you use them during the holiday season. So stay tuned for that.
Tired of dealing with lawn work in the sweltering heat of summer? Or maybe you're not a fan of being attacked by spiders while raking the leaves in the fall. I know I'm not. No matter what lawn and garden service you need, we have a solution for you.
If you live in the Richmond, Virginia area, KT Maintenance LLC is your one-stop shop for lawn care, brush removal, and even mulch and rock delivery. Whether you need commercial or residential services, each job gets a free estimate from owner and operator, Chris Thornton.
To get your free estimate today, call Chris at 804-986-8270 or send an email his way at ktmaintllc@gmail.com and get your lawn and garden feeling fresh.
Welcome back. You missed us serenading
Yes.
you. You also missed our cat poop conversation, which I'm so glad.
You appreciate that you missed the cat poop
Yes.
conversation because it
Less
was
festive.
no. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, okay. So we talked about colors last time. For this second half, we're talking about symbols, physical things that we decorate our house with, or things that you might just think about for the season. So we're going to talk very briefly about them. And if you want to know, as always, all of our links are always in our description. So if you want to see the full list of these, it was enormous, to say the least. And some of these, I'm like, why are you including them? This makes zero sense to me. Yes, technically you see them during the holiday season, but I don't think that's worth an entire blog over. But anyway, yeah. I didn't write the article. All right. As I choke myself. We're going to start with the most obvious Christmas trees, specifically the evergreen fir trees. They're universal. And one of the main reasons is because they're still alive, which is what we talked about a little bit previously.
Woo!
Woo! Still alive. But also, the other reason is that the pagan tradition displayed the branches of evergreen trees to remind them that spring would return, that life would also return.
Correct.
Because it's cold in most places during this time, unless you're in Australia, in which case you've just swapped with us and it's summertime now. So enjoy your summertime. Romans placed them around temples to honor Saturn, the god of agriculture, which kind of makes sense because, mm-hmm. again, it's the only thing alive during the wintertime. But the first time the evergreen tree was actually used, quote, as a Christmas tree, was either in Tallinn, Estonia, Riga, or Latvia. And each city says it's the true home of the first Christmas tree, which is why it's up for debate. In the 16th century, German Christians brought the trees inside their homes to, again, that everlasting life symbolism. When news spread to Queen Victoria, her husband, who was German, Prince Albert, set up a Christmas tree in their palace, and the practice then became kind of like the height of symbolism in England and America, because it's like, well, the royals are doing it, so we're going to start putting trees in our houses. And then fires broke out everywhere because they didn't know you still need to water it. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's the truth. But you do need to make sure if you have a live Christmas tree to keep it watered because it still needs water.
Safety tip from us to you. Tips.
That's right. For free. So that's Christmas tree. The wreaths are kind of what they describe in this article as a handy way to use Christmas tree trimmings, which is probably how it developed, because you got, yep, branches that are everywhere. They kind of litter the ground. What better use to use than what's already available to you? So in 16th century Germany, again, this is kind of where that took off. But the symbolism of the wreath itself actually goes back to Greece and Rome, when victorious athletes would, of course, put on leafy branches woven into a crown to symbolize that they had won the games or bested their enemies.
So we put it on the front of our door to symbolize we won Christmas.
We won Christmas. We won the year.
Yeah.
Yes. And the symbol of the never-ending circle is also in itself a symbol. So a wreath is usually a circle. So that's where that comes from. So the evergreens adding to the circle offer the promise of spring's rebirth, everlasting life, a never-ending life of, you know, or never-ending circle of life, the circle of life. So then Christmas kind of adapted it. Christians started using it to celebrate with Advent wreaths, which then count down the weeks until Jesus's birth for Christmas. So it just kind of became inundated in the Christmas spirit and in some religions as well. Mistletoe, which I think is gross. Keep that away from me. I don't want it. It's gross. It's a weed.
We don't, it's like actually it. Poisonous, I think.
Yes, it's poisonous and it's invasive and it's a weed. So whatever.
Kirsten said no weeds.
No weeds in my house. This actually came through Norse mythology. I'm trying to say mythology and Norse at the same time. It just comes out Norse. This has happened before, unfortunately. Previous North. So Norse mythology creeps into the Christmas tradition to explain why we kiss under the mistletoe, and we aren't kissing. Other people are kissing. It's not me. I'm not associated with mistletoe.
Kirsten said, absolutely not. We will not be doing this. Absolutely. Stay 6 feet away from me. COVID.
Kissing under a weed sounds terrible. Anyway, according to the legend, though, this is the giggle hour, apparently. According to legend, the gods used mistletoe to resurrect Odin's son, Balder, from the dead. So Balder's mom, Frigg, the goddess of love, made the plant a symbol of love and vowed to kiss anyone who passed under it. So Frigg just be putting her lips anywhere nowadays, and I think that's gross. Anyway, The plant also ties into the holiday season because it can blossom when it's cold, similar to the holly bush and the evergreen trees. And during Christmas celebrations in the 18th century, England specifically, men were allowed to kiss any woman standing under the weed. And if ladies refused, it meant bad luck. And I think that's gross. So you will not find mistletoe in my house. Okay? They use it for assault. Anyway. Can you imagine just like aimlessly walking and some dude just be wiggling mistletoe around and they're like, I can kiss whoever I want now. And I'm like, ew, no, go away.
Enjoy. I feel like there are still people today that do that. And it's not okay.
Enjoy your bad luck, sir. Anyway, to another plant, shall we go?
We shall.
We're going to talk about poinsettias. So the story of poinsettias do actually have a story. It begins in native Mexico because that's where poinsettias are found natively.
I have a question.
You didn't have to raise your hand, but yes, I'll call on Blair for your question.
Thank you so much. Is it poinsettia or poinsettia?
Don't mess with me. According to Mexico, the legend, I say poinsettia. Anybody that says poinsettia, I don't know you, and I don't know where that comes from.
I'm just asking because phonetically that's what it is.
Okay. Well, it's okay to be wrong sometimes.
It's fine. Go ahead.
I don't know how.
Bring up oil again.
Okay. Or Nal, for that matter. No. I feel like I would need to know. Hold on. Okay. So pronunciation Spanish because it's from Mexico.
All right. Yep. You're right.
Flor de Pascua. So there you go.
Okay.
That's how you say it.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anyway, this is a legend where, again, we're dealing with weeds, but these are humble weeds. So they're not like mistletoe where you just kiss anybody you want. These weeds have humility. And they were left by a poor girl as an offering to baby Jesus at a nativity scene that miraculously turned into the beautiful, gorgeous, lovely flower, the poinsettias. The young girl was named Pepita, and she was very sad because she didn't have a gift to give little baby Jesus on Christmas Eve services. Her cousin tried to comfort her and said that Jesus would love any present from her, even the smallest one. And with no money to buy a real gift, Pepita picked a bouquet of weeds and then walked past on the way to church. Other versions of the story say an angel came to her and instructed her to pick the plants and put them down. But the bottom line is Pepita got there, left the weeds at the bottom of the nativity scene, and then the weeds transformed into the beautiful red flowers that we know and love and see everywhere today.
That our cats will die if they eat.
Do not let your cats eat them. In fact, potentially other animals as well. Don't let your dogs eat it anyway, just in case. From that day on, they became known as Flor de Nochebuena, or Flowers of the Holy Night. And I'm sorry if I butchered that as well. And then a 19th century U.S. ambassador to Mexico, Joel Roberts Poinsett, brought the plants that were then later named by him to the States, just for funsies.
You said Flor de Nochebuena, which I think you incorporated two different languages. Because
so noche?
It would be noche if it were you were speaking Spanish, but knocked if
it's
you were
French.
Speaking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flor de Nochebuena.
There you go.
Nailed it. Because the U.S. likes themselves, they just named it after themselves when they brought the plant over. So it's now
of course we did. Yeah.
They didn't become traditional holiday decorations until the entrepreneurial Eck family started promoting them a century later. Paul Eck Jr. sent free poinsettia plants to TV studios across the country, including The Tonight Show and Bob Hope's holiday specials. And eventually this, of course, caused a trend and are now ingrained as one of the most popular plants sold in the U.S. Congress, declaring them December 12th to be National Poinsettia Day, which is the anniversary of Poinsett's death. So anyway, now they're just part of it.
Also,
yeah,
I have the Lego version of a
very
poinsettia.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. It's cute.
The cats can't eat Legos either.
No, they cannot. But they are more like they are less likely to eat the Lego.
Absolutely. Agreed.
It doesn't have as good mouth feel.
I would agree. It doesn't have a good foot feel either. Don't step on a Lego. You'll die forever. Tree lights. The tradition goes back to the 16th century, where theologian Martin Luther is said to be the first person to put lights on a Christmas tree. Luther was the seminal figure of the Protestant Reformation, and his theological beliefs formed the basis. I'm really having a difficult time with my.
You have a lisp going on today.
It's happening. But he formed the basis of Lutheranism, which is why the lisp happened. He is widely regarded as one of the most influential figures in Western and Christian history, and legend has it that he was walking through a forest one night and was moved by the beautiful stars shining through the trees. And when he got home, he recreated this for his family by putting the candles on the tree branches, yeah. Which don't do.
Okay. Another safety tip from us to you.
Please.
Absolutely do not put real flame candles on mm-mm. your Christmas tree.
Please do not do that. Because if you have a real tree that's dry and then you put candles that are actually lit also.
Even if the tree is properly hydrated, I still think it would go badly.
I'm just talking worst case scenario. You're going to need at least 3 fire extinguishers and a new house. So I feel like it's pretty bad. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
So don't be doing that. Speaking of candles, the symbolism of light during the holiday season goes beyond just lights on your tree. It is supposed to be a symbolism of like the darkest days of the year, because obviously it gets darker earlier, it stays dark longer. And if you're in the northern hemisphere, it's like dark forever. So candles and fire and light represent hope and warmth, the rebirth in the winter solstice, all of those beautiful things. And these, of course, did merge with Christian traditions for Christmas. So if you know, the New Year's Eve service is typically a candlelight service, so candles are very symbolic there. In Scandinavia, young girls will wear wreaths on their head with lit candles, which sounds horrifying, for St. Lucia's Day on December 13th. Mm-hmm. In New Mexico, luminarias, or candles in the paper bags, light pathways at Christmas, which is beautiful. If you've never seen the luminarias, it's very cool. Similarly, also another Mexican tradition is Las Posadas. Thank you. Has young people carrying candles to symbolize lighting the way for Mary and Joseph's journey before Jesus's birth. And then Advent wreaths also use candles to count down the 4 weeks before Christmas. And in Hanukkah, you also have candles that will light along the menorah, and there's specificity around that as well. So candles are huge during this
candles season. Are huge. Side note, yes. If you want to make your house, if it's daylight savings time, if you live in North America, or if you live in one of the northern countries mm-hmm. that it's dark all the time, you probably already know this. Mm-hmm. If you want to make your house seem more cozy and festive, mm-hmm. get you some candles.
For sure.
It doesn't have to be the scented kind. Just get like the regular kind or the electric kind with the mm-hmm. batteries. Mm-hmm. It'll make you feel better about like having less light in the day.
Yes. It's
like
very
scientifically
cozy.
Proven, like makes it, it's part of like the, like why Denmark and Norway and like those countries are like the happiest countries, and because they know to do this even when it's dark 23 hours of the day or whatever it is,
which is a lot of time to be dark.
Yes.
So yes, candles are huge, and now they make battery operated ones, so if you're like me and you don't like fire, it's perfect.
Yes.
Stars, obviously another big symbol during the holidays. Christmas, according to Christianity, guided the three wise men. We kind of hit on that before. As with other symbols of light around the solstice, the star also represents hope for mankind during dark times. But the Star of Bethlehem may be a real scientific thing. Every few hundred years, Jupiter and Saturn appear as one to the naked eye. And the last occurrence of this, quote, great conjecture actually happened December of 2020. And so some scientists theorize that a planetary conjunction could have been what the three wise men saw as like a giant star, because they were seen overlapping each other, which is kind of cool. So anyway, stars. Tinsel, although tinsel has gone a bit out of style because it's usually seen in more traditional Christmas decor, I would say.
I like tinsel. The problem is I actually put it on my tree this year and then realized the cats would probably try to eat it, and then we'd have to go to the vet and it would be a whole thing. So then I immediately took it off, but I took some pictures with it on and it was cute.
Also good mouthfeel. Previous versions contained poisonous lead, which was the other problem with Tensil.
Yeah, it doesn't have that now.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
But to Blair's point, even with the current PVC type of Tensil, it's still very dangerous for your pets. So please be careful if you decide to use Tensil. Keep it out of reach, or at least out of their reach. With the legend of Tensil, though, European folktale credits the webs of, quote, Christmas spiders for the tradition of shimmery threads on Christmas trees. So if you aren't scared about spider in broccoli, consider spider in tree, now in house. Tinsel started out made of real silver as a symbol of wealth, because silver and gold are your symbols of wealth. We're just going to glaze by that. Just let it go.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
And a lovely way to reflect candles, which you should not have live on your tree, is to put the tinsel so it kind of reflects the light, which I feel like if you have a tree that has those flickering lights that you can change, kind of creates the same effect with less dangerous effort.
Can confirm it does do that.
Perfect. But of course, silver specifically is very expensive and it tarnishes very easily. So the tradition came to America, different metals were used, but of course had their multiple downsides, fell out of favor, and now they use plastic. So anyway.
Plastic is good.
Plastic is good.
For this particular instance, not in general.
Correct. Yes. The next one makes me giggle, but we're going to talk about the Christmas pickle, which I think is a beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Some people do that. I have never done that.
I think it's definitely more of a modern thing. So if you probably didn't grow up with a Christmas pickle, and I'm not trying to be weird, it's actually a thing. It's said to bring you good luck if you find the Christmas pickle on the tree. So if you don't know what the tradition is, essentially you have a pickle ornament. Don't put a real pickle on your tree. That's gross.
It would be easy to find because it would smells. Be.
Absolutely. Yeah. But very slippery and wet, which I disagree with putting on a tree that now smells like pickles. Gross.
Okay.
Glazing by that as well.
Yes.
So what you do is somebody will hide the pickle on the tree. And if you find it before everybody else, you have good luck, allegedly. But there's history behind this. So the stories claim that it's actually a German tradition. Others suggest it came from Civil War soldiers who miraculously recovered after eating a pickle at Christmas time. I feel like that's weird. I don't know. Or it could be totally made up to sell pickle ornaments, which I think is probably more likely the case. But I'm not German and I'm not a Civil War soldier, so I couldn't tell you. So get a pickle, I guess. Bells are big during Christmas time. My aunt actually used to play the bells in church with the gloves and the thing.
I've done that before. Yeah. It's fun.
It's very cool. I like it. And they're very pretty. They sound very pretty. So Christmas ornaments, though, are also symbolic and things of that nature. And bells is one of the original ornaments that used to be available for symbolic and practical purposes. They have both pagan and Christian traditions, supposedly, again, warding off evil spirits. So you ring the bell and the evil spirits are like, ah, no. In addition, church bells are rung to signify important events. So they're usually rung on Christmas and Easter and things of that nature. So that also you know what time you're supposed to be in service. So if you hear the bells, you're
also
late.
Also that. Yep.
You late. Also jingle bells. We've heard the song. They warn you if a sleigh is coming so you don't get whacked by a rogue
jingle
sleigh.
Jingle bells, mermaid man smells, barnacle boy laid an egg.
And the reason that they put them on sleighs is because if it snowed, you can't hear the horse's hooves because they're not clip-clopping on cobblestone anymore. They're like,
That makes sense.
So sleigh bells ring.
I thought it was just a festive thing, but that makes sense.
It's very practical.
I like it.
If you've never been kicked by a horse, imagine being trampled by one. It's not fun.
Well, and I've never really been around horses when it's snowing.
Fair. Either. Yeah. It's very quiet.
Yeah.
Unnerving. Yeah.
I like
so
that.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? Is actually very practical. That's a warning. It's a threat. Are you listening? Also, you're late for church. Anyway.
Who is this? Krampus? Anyway.
Oh, I love it so much.
All right, did you Redmond?
Go. We're getting into food, which I think is very fun.
This is important.
Yes, very important. This holiday food. So Gingerbread Man, this spice likely made its way to Europe from Asia on trade routes during the Middle Ages, and it developed in various versions of spicy baked goods, specifically gingerbread. According to legend, Queen Elizabeth I of England was the first to make gingerbread into men, representing the foreign dignitaries that she would serve the dessert to at a fancy dinner, and then they'd bite their heads off right in front of them. Just kidding, I don't know.
Assert your dominance.
See, I've made you into men, and now I will eat you. It's great.
Love that for her.
I know. What a woman boss. I don't know.
What a power play.
What a queen.
Okay.
So they may become popular around the holidays as a spicy treat to warm up because they are a little spicy. And so you just kind of eat them during the winter season and assert your dominance against people you are meeting for the very first time. And I think that's great. Eggnog, which I hate. Sorry to those that love it.
Same. It's nasty.
Tyler loves it. It's gross. British aristocrats actually came up with this concoction as a warm winter drink. Gross. But the difference is they served it with brandy and sherry to keep it from spoiling. Although now we have modern methods. So for the most part, you don't have to worry about that. Over time, it will go bad, though, like milk. I mean, it's eggnog. So anyway, smell it before you sell it. Because the ingredients were so expensive, only the wealthy, of course, could afford to drink it, which is fine by me because that's disgusting. When it made its way to American colonies in the 1700s, colonists dubbed the pricey liquor or subbed the pricey liquor for rum. And at the time, rum was also called grog. So the bartender named the drink eggnog, which is where we get eggnog. Because after it was noggin mugs that they were served. It doesn't matter. It's gross.
Yes. Good call. All right.
Milk and cookies for Santa.
Love that.
I personally feel like this is just a ploy to get a midnight snack from the parents.
Well, yeah. So like, it's milk and cookies for mom and dad, really.
Yes.
Or and dad, if mom's on a diet, you know.
Well, that's why you leave out the carrots for the reindeer so that mom can also have a snack if she doesn't want to eat the cookie. Yes.
We made a reindeer like snack.
Yes.
I don't know. I forget what it was, but it was like some sort of trail mix situation. Yes. And we made a lot of it for all the reindeer. And I have no idea, thinking back, I have no idea if my parents ate all of it that night or if they like stored it away and like as a secret snack.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
There's like snowman poop that you can make, which I don't know why we call it poop. And we're like, yeah, this is a great snack. But anyway, you can get reindeer poop, trail mix, snow mix, you name it.
Yeah, you're right.
But this tradition hasn't really changed all that much. It actually began in medieval Germany. During the Yule season, children would leave out food at night in hopes of getting presents from a different white-bearded guy, not our white-bearded guy, specifically Odin, who is the North god. I'm just going to say it wrong because I know I will. Who traveled on an eight-legged horse, Sleipnir. And Sleipnir probably wanted some nom-noms, so they would also leave out stuff for them, I'm assuming. The American custom we know started during the Great Depression, where parents used the Christmas symbols of milk and cookies as a way to teach their kids that even when money is tight, they still had to be considerate of others and show gratitude for blessings in their lives. So it's also a thank you for any presents that they received from Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of cute. Candy canes. I feel like candy canes is kind of one that a lot of people know most of the time, I guess.
Yeah.
But legend for this one says that they were first invented by a choir master to keep choir boys occupied during long Christmas services and were made into the shape of a shepherd's crook to symbolize Jesus as the shepherd of the followers. And in some tales, the white of the candy cane is purity, red being the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. In the 1920s America, the treat actually began mass production and became a permanent Christmas symbol. And they're peppermint, which is fun.
Some of them. Now they have like all these different varieties now. It's a whole thing.
The Starburst ones are actually really good. The Skittles ones are really good. Sometimes I just want, you know, I also feel like we used to create them into daggers, which I appreciated as a kid.
Shanks.
Just in case you need to shiv your friends or something. I don't know.
No, I remember that.
Great times. Snowmen. First documented snowmen actually appeared in 1380, but mankind has probably been doing this for a really long time because humans are cute. They do fun things. These Christmas symbols were especially popular during the Middle Ages when many lacked the proper resources for outlets of artistic expression. So many would find traditional art supplies to be kind of difficult, whereas if it snowed outside or if it was icy outside, you could make snow and ice sculptures. And I think that's brilliant.
It is.
And for free. And then finally, Christmas caroling, which I don't... Which I don't think happens much anymore.
No.
When it comes to like the door-to-door situation.
No.
I don't even think as a kid I remember having Christmas carolers come to the house. And we lived in a neighborhood where that might have been possible, but I don't remember.
Let me tell you. We were out on our walk. We were, first of all.
Yes.
We were home. And some guy with a guitar and his two kids from our neighborhood came up to our door. Mm-hmm. We acted like we were not home. Then
bah humbug.
I'm sorry. I can't be, it's so awkward and it is awkward. I can't do it.
And then do you tip them? Do you give them a handshake? Do you tap? Like, what do you do? A treat?
I don't know. I don't know what the proper
protocol.
The other thing is when we went around on our walk the next night, we saw them harassing other people who did open their door.
I like I use the word harassing. They were giving the Christmas spirit to other people. And it was deplorable.
And they sounded kind of bad. So I have no regrets for this.
That's fine. Whatever. I don't know how I would feel either. But just in case you're curious, there's hymns. So Christians, usually they have old hymns in the hymnals and the books and things like that. So when Christians began replacing pagan winter festivities with Christmas stuff, bishops across Europe would request certain hymns to be sung at the Christmas services. And many composers wanted to write their own carols, but since they were always in Latin, they weren't really popular for many reasons. And then in 1233, St. Francis of Assisi started putting on nativity plays, which would include canticles that told the story of Christ's birth. And these usually were all in a language that the audience members could understand and sing along. Therefore, you are caroling. And then you could take those and sing them together elsewhere or at other people and barrage Blair at her house if you desired.
Right.
So anyway. All right. Is the final to all of this is there a specific tradition that you really enjoy when it comes to the holidays, whether it's the decor, the food, the colors, what are we going for?
Okay. Well, I like when we put our Christmas lights. Well, I would like to rephrase when my husband puts the Christmas lights up and I supervise.
Indeed. We are great supervisors.
I like doing that.
Yes.
I also, this year, well, every year for the past, I want to say like at least 5 years, I've made my great grandmother's sugar cookie recipe.
Which I did not get any of this year.
Because I was scared. From mailing them all the way from Hawaii. It's like warm and like.
No, it's fine.
I just didn't want you to get moldy cookies. I figured. So like once I'm back on the East Coast or like in the continental United States, you'll get some, I promise.
Perfect.
So I like making those. This year I went a little crazy. And so I made those. I made gingerbread. I made kitchen sink cookie, Christmas kitchen sink cookies, which is really just kitchen sink cookies with red and green M&Ms.
Indeed.
And then I made the little, like, they're not a cookie. It's like a snack with like the pretzel, the Rolo, and then the M&M pushed down on the Rolo. Very good. 10 out of 10. I could eat like 100 of those.
That's good, like finger, like hors d'oeuvre kind of desserts.
Hors d'oeuvre, yeah.
I mean.
Dessert before dessert.
Absolutely.
No, totally. yeah, so, and that was really fun. The baking around the holidays is my favorite part, I would say. I always carve out like a whole day just to like do it. This year I had two separate days that I did all the cookies.
Fancy.
And it was fun. It was good.
Good. Yeah. Sounds fun. Obviously, I don't decorate and I'm not a baker, but my favorite thing about the holidays is actually the buying of gifts. Usually, I'm a gift giver by nature. It's what I enjoy doing. This year was a little tough. We've talked about it. It was a little harder to figure out what I wanted to give to everybody. That's my favorite part of the holidays, is seeing other people unwrap their gifts. And I'm sorry that Chris can't unwrap his until Wednesday, because that's just how shipping works to Hawaii.
It's fine. It's fine. We've accepted it as part of our curse for living here.
Everything will always be a little later.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season. Happy New Year to the lot of you. And also, super excited for next week. We are returning to YouTube.
We are.
Blair's amazing, but it'll still be here. I want to be very clear. Like,
yes,
it's still going to be here, but.
So, yeah. So anyway. this is the deal. We're not going to talk about Christmas anymore, we promise, until next year.
Right.
And then also, next week, we're going to be doing a segment of mediocre content podcasting that we would like to call Mediocre Conversations. It'll be me and Kirsten doing a little bit more of like a free form situation, just talking about like, sure, we could do that.
Free form jazz.
But it's just kind of like, it's more conversationally, it's more fun. It's just more like, not that this isn't fun, but because it is, but like, you know, it's more like two friends just chit-chatting, you know.
Right. So instead of us doing it before the pod for 2 hours, we'll do it during the pod for 2 hours.
That's correct. And then we're going to upload it. We're going to record it. We're going to look much more presentable than we currently do. We're
going to record it,
put it on YouTube.
Yes.
And so you guys can watch us on YouTube and then also listen to us gab wherever you normally do as well.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, continue to follow us on TikTok and on Instagram. Instagram, I think, will be always. TikTok, we're up in the air still, depending on what the government decides. We'll see what happens.
And then
don't forget to rate us 5 stars anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we will see you next week. This has been Mediocre Content.
Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.
Cheers.